As you may have heard, we are starting a new teaching preaching series today called, I think we're calling it Prayer, Practice, and Life. Life and Practice. Woohoo, it's right there. So when the preaching team was together praying and chatting about what this next season of teaching might look like, one of the things that we were struck by that Danny highlighted for us again is the reality that a number in our community are currently journeying through, and over the last year we've journeyed together through some really significant health issues and other really tangible things that impact life greatly. And the question came about, what can the preaching team and teaching team do to help and serve this community in a season like that? And the discussion landed on really the most practical thing we can do is talk together about prayer. And prayer not just in the theological sense of something that is out there and not understandable, but really actually the practice of it. Practice of it in terms of our personal lives, our familial lives, what scripture talks about, and also together making space to practice and to pray together. So for these next 5 Sundays, that's what we are going to do. In terms of our teaching rhythm, we are going to cover 5 basic topics. The biblical scholar, Dr. Walter Brueggemann, who did a whole bunch of work through the Psalms, talks about 3 forms of prayer that the Psalms journey through. The first one is the prayer of orientation, which Kevin will be talking today. And this is a prayer for when everything is going the way that we expect it to go. This is kind of how our prayers sound. And then there are seasons where we have prayers of disorientation. Nothing makes sense. God is not acting the way that I think that God should be acting. And actually, these prayers are very welcome and important too. And then the next Sunday is prayers of reorientation. And these are prayers of, this is what has happened to me in this disorientation season, and what I have learned new again about God, and therefore this is now what my prayer sounds like. So it's not always a turning back to what used to be. More often than not, it's a moving forward into what I now understand. Then on Family Sunday, we actually have one of my favorite things happening. Danny's going to teach. Kids are going to be in with us. And I didn't know this, but Danny, which I should have known, is very strategic in how she teaches our children to pray. And she has 3 or 4 methods that she consistently uses in kids' life. And so she, with the kids with us, is going to teach us together about how she teaches children to pray. And I'm so excited because I know that I'm going to learn a lot. And the other thing we wanted to give you a heads up about is that we're actually intentionally going to take communion that Sunday with our children present. So this is a heads up to say, you know, we'd all might think a little bit differently about the practice of communion and taking the Eucharist. This is part of being a community of gracious space. We don't all hold the same rules and thoughts around this. And every family and every parent hill group has permission to shepherd their children as they see fit around this time. So please be thinking about that. Please be communicating with your children coming into that Sunday or the young ones that you are here with, and decide together whether they are going to observe or participate in communion that Sunday. And then the last Sunday, we're actually going to talk about prophetic prayer, the prayer of praying things into being in the future, or the seeing of things coming as Jesus directs us. So that's where we're going for the next 5 weeks. Now, the other thing that we wanted to give you a heads up about is that this time together is also going to look a bit different. For the next 5 weeks, we're also going to run a bit of a different rhythm. For the first couple of minutes, we're actually going to do what we're calling an exploration time. We're going to talk practically about different practices of prayer through the 5 senses of the body. And then we're actually going to do a practice of declaration together. It's very simple, where we speak truth about who God is together in a very simple declarative verbal format. And then will be a teaching time. It'll be much shorter than normal. Generally, it'll be more of a homily style. And then we actually are going to have a time together to pray together at the end of the service. And that's so that we're being both very practical and teaching. Questions? Make sense? Kind of there? As I already kind of hinted at with the communion conversation, we are a Jesus-centered community creating gracious space through acts of generous love. This is what we're working towards. And even in prayer too, and even as we talk about this too, that word creating in our vision mission statement becomes really important. Each of us experiences prayer and life differently. Each of us experiences interaction with God differently. And sometimes in these conversations, when something doesn't fit our experience, our first response is one of fear, rather than being one of, can you help me understand? And when we are seeking to grow into a Jesus-centered community that is creating gracious space, we actually have to practice seeking first to understand, rather than responding in fear. So as you are introduced to things in these next 5 weeks that may not fit your experience nor fit your comfort level, that's totally understandable, that's expected, and it's okay. And it's actually how growth occurs and how learning occurs. So I encourage you to ask the question first, help me to understand, versus just saying this doesn't fit. Does that make sense? Okay. So I thought we'd start with a fairly easy sense today because it's one that we talk about a lot. And it's the sense of hearing. So when you think about hearing in daily life and maybe how that would relate to prayer, what do you think about? Silence. Thank you, Glenn. Yes, that's one. Yes. Wonderful. So how do you hear God's voice? Do you want to answer that question first? What does it sound like, or what is it like for you? Totally. So this is part of the uniqueness about how we're created and how each of us are created. Our understanding of hearing is all very different. So scientifically, we all know that sounds are waves. I have an autistic daughter. One thing that I've learned new is that when children are first born, you know how they have the soft spot on their head? Children actually hear through the top of their head when they're first born, through vibration here. And over their development time, as their skull hardens, it moves down to where they're listening and able to hear out of the actual waves that are occurring within their ears, the vibration. And for many autistic children or people who've had brain damage, that doesn't actually work properly. And they primarily hear through this top of their skull, which means that vibrations in their surrounding are heard much louder. So when we talk about accessible space here and et cetera, and we have different people who hear different vibrations at different levels, it may not only be the sound that we're hearing here, but actually a full body experience as vibration interacts with their body. And this too is actually the work of God in our lives, right? When I watch how Corey listens for God, it's very different to how I listen for God. Corey is a data collector. He can take huge quantities of data, and it's very hard data, and he's always reading and researching, and all of a sudden he's got this theme that comes through, and God, and it's like, and he says something, and I'm like, oh, that is absolutely where God is moving. When I hear God moving, it's a gut reaction, and that's very common. And then the third realm that you often hear people talk about in hearing is hearing God through their emotions. But in all of these things, when we practice prayer through hearing, oftentimes we're doing it through verbal practice,
whether it's singing on Sunday mornings, like we often do, or through spoken prayer. And the opposite side of the coin that Glenn has mentioned this morning is actually the practice of silence, right? So keep it very simple. The two practices that I thought I'd just mention to you this morning for you to maybe explore with this week would be a practice of silence or a practice of speaking, because I don't actually know what's happening in your life, and sometimes people have gone very long stretches without speaking verbally in their prayers, or people have gone for very long stretches where all they do is talk, right? And in both of these practices, the awareness of God's presence and the awareness of God's activity speaks to us and comes to us in different ways. Anne Lamott has a book called Help, Thanks, Wow. And her thoughts on prayer in that season when she was writing was to say that all prayers come down to these three words: help, thanks, and wow. And for those of you that have come through long seasons of silence, these three words might actually be a good place to start if you're wondering about an easy way to enter into how do I start verbally with sound praying again. So if you are one of those people looking for an easy in this week, you don't have to grab the book, but think about using one of those words and finding space to use one of those words to pray and be aware of God's presence as you are seeking him. And if you are one of those people who the majority of your prayer life has been a verbal interaction, why don't you experiment this week with a practice of silence? Even just 5 minutes. And not a silence where you are seeking answers, but literally a silence where you are seeking just to be aware of God's presence with you. As I was thinking about this week, I was remembering Debbie's story of her journey through cancer over this last year. And one of the things that continuously stood out to me in her story was how much she was learning that the only thing occurring is what is happening present. That you have to be, like, the discipline is to stay now versus what has happened 10 years ago and what might happen in 10 years. Mm-hmm. It's the learning that Christ and God works with us now. And in silence and in verbal practice, we have the opportunity to learn that too, that God is at work with us now. So that's much more talking than I'll be doing for the next 5 weeks, but I'll offer you those two simple practices. And on the back of your program, I've actually put a couple of other resources if you are a person wanting to explore prayer through silence or prayer through verbalization. As it impacts your hearing in different ways. And if you are looking for more, please feel free to reach out. Kevin.
Wonderful. Thank you, Aaron. So Aaron or someone, right now I think we have it on, Aaron's going to come up and do this before each of these times to get it during the explore time. So thank you, Aaron, for doing that. And thanks for this opportunity to dive into prayer, which is just such a big, it's so big, and yet it's actually pretty simple. Let me just pray. God, thank you for this opportunity that as a community that we have to dive into this and to learn, but also to practice. I pray you'd help us guide. I pray that your Holy Spirit would guide us in our understanding through your scripture and through experiences that we have that we've gone through and experience that we are yet to, that you would lead us into a place of prayer. As we dive into what it looks like for prayers of orientation, I pray that you'd help me just have my words succinct, and that you would be honored in the midst of this, and that, yeah, we would come to this aspect of wow today. Pray this in your name. Amen. I've entitled this sermon, or this teaching time, this short time that we're going to do, Praying When Life Makes Sense, Prayers of Orientation. Have you ever had a time when life just made total sense? Anyone? Do you remember those days? Or maybe you're in it now. Psalm 8 is a great prayer. It's a creation psalm. And as Aaron talked about, Walter Brueggemann helps us with his book, Spirituality of the Psalms, and breaks things into like three categories: Psalms of orientation, Psalms of disorientation, and Psalms of reorientation. And there's this movement that happens in the middle of all of that. And so today we're going to try to hunker down onto orientation. And that's kind of, it's actually going through lots of orientation, disorientation, reorientation, disorientation, reorientation. As I was preparing this, I'm like, it's hard to land and stay into orientation. But there's this movement. And so I'm hoping that as we look at this, we're going to look at scripture, and that where we're to look at the scripture, and we kind of do what Anne Lamont is saying is, wow, that is what orientates us. Wow. And then I'm hoping to share a story that that will help give us some perspective on what that means for those of us that are in this orientation, and how do we now walk with people that maybe aren't. And so how does that work? Because it's not just orientation or disorientation or reorientation. There's a lot that's happened. Life is full of this. If you look at Psalm 8, we'll read that. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory in the heavens through the praise of children and infants. We've heard that this morning. You've established your stronghold against your enemies to silence the foe and the avengers. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which have set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of them? Human beings that you care for them. Wow. You've made them a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honor. You've made them rulers over the works of your hands, and you put everything under their feet, all flocks and herds and animals and wild and birds of the sky and fish of the sea, all that swim paths of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Wow. If you notice, I was getting a bit of a slag. Some people are slagging me a little bit today for the back of the program. There's no fill in the blanks today. Not going to apologize for that. But the first verse in Psalm 8 is the same as the last verse in Psalm 8. And everything else in between is saying, this is how life should be. When life is going fine. And there's even a little tension about talking about enemies. And they're like, yeah, they talk about the enemies, but God's got those figured out. And so this psalm is a psalm of orientation, saying, wow, how majestic is God in all the earth that everything is under his control. And everything is working just right. Life makes sense, actually. But we also know that Coast Hills, in the last few years, that people in our community have experienced all kinds of disorientation. So what I'm going to say today, I don't want to belittle those that have lived and are living experiences of pain and loss right now. Next week, Glenn gets to do that. And he'll be framing his teaching around that. But today, as we look at this, the prayer book of God's people, there's this movement from orientation, disorientation, reorientation. There's this movement that's happening. But seasons of orientation are characterized by orderliness, goodness, and stability. In these moments, we have a deep and abiding sense that all is well. Life makes sense. There's balance at work, and there's balance at home. Friends are plentiful, and health is good. Our faith is growing, and it's vibrant, and things are just really good. And I want to say also that that's not a fake thing. I know someone who, not until age 35, that someone actually died in their family. Until age 35. And so for that person, and everything else was, had a steady job, everything, nothing else was like disoriented for them. And so we need to recognize that in the midst of it, I need to do this as a pastor, knowing lots of people's business in a sense, knowing that lots of, but there's also people that are just experiencing the goodness of God right now. So how do we bring those two together? And what does this look like? We know that God worshipers, us, we go through some of the same stuff that all people go through. The difference is that we're aware that God is present with us. That's what we just celebrated with Advent and then Christmas, that God is Emmanuel. He's with us here and now. The infant Jesus came as God in the flesh, Emmanuel. Our help comes from God. And who is this God? He's the maker of heaven and earth. He's the one that instituted this. Oh God, oh Lord, oh Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. We are orientated to the reality that God is in control and involved in our lives. We are orientated and secure not because we are sure of ourselves, but we trust that God is sure of us. Psalms of orientation are about God, about going to the God that we know by faith through scriptures, who is the maker of heaven and earth. And that's our orientation. Psalms of orientation are about a point of reference that we rely on when circumstances tend to be a bit chaotic as well. So we can experience psalms of prayers of orientation or psalms of orientation here, which is a prayer. When life is chaotic, we need people around us that will then point us to this as well. Not in some kind of belittling way, but in a way that says, I know that's your experience now. My experience is this. And would we be able to try to understand this God who's present with us now, who is the creator and the maker of heaven and earth together? Sometimes, unfortunately, these psalms of orientation, and I'm going to have a list at the end, possibility of going through a different psalm each day of the week this week. And they're all psalms of orientation. But sometimes the psalms of orientation can sometimes seem or to be read as a blessing of the status quo. Maybe for the privileged minority rather than as a hope for all. I'll quote Bergerman here in his book where he says, in using these psalms, we must be alert to the slippery ways that creation faith, meaning that God is in control and God is over all and in all and has created this, that creation faith easily becomes social conservatism, which basks in our own well-offness. For we know persons and communities who experience disorder and injustice deeply contradicts this faith. These same psalms provide a point of reference even for those who share in none of the present goodies that this life offers, but who can cling to the hope of the conviction that God's good intention for creation will finally triumph, and there will be equity and rest and Sabbath for all of God's creatures, end quote. So these psalms remind us of the hope that we have in the God of all creation as well. And so we need these psalms, whether life is going well, but we also need to hear these psalms in light of the current situations that we find ourselves into. It's interesting that psalms of orientation are the least frequently occurring type in the Psalter, in the book of Psalms. One of the biggest ones, 40%, is lament, which Glenn will be speaking to later. And remember, the Psalter, the Psalms, is the prayer book of God's people. And I want to bring us to, I don't know if we can bring up verse 3 and 4 of Psalm 8. We know that it's bookmarked by, O Lord, O Lord, how majestic are you in all the earth. And in the middle here, I want us to look at this. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon, the stars which you've had set in place, what is mankind that you're mindful of them? Human beings that you care for them. Have you ever had this kind of prayer? For me, it happens usually when we're out in nature. It's happened time and time again. When I'm on top of a mountain, one time it happened when I was with a group of guys and we hiked Needle Peak, and you're at the top and it's like super exposed. So you know how little you are, and there's actually a plaque on the top of it for someone that's passed away, that's fallen off that. And you look around at the grandeur and you're like going, oh my goodness, this is amazing. This creation is amazing. And you sit there and you go, whoa. And then by that plaque, you're reminded of the smallness of yourself as well. But for me, as a Jesus follower, I was just taken into awe and go, oh. It happens when we're on the ski slopes, when we're on the top. We get up, instead of hiking, we can take up a lift now. And when it's a clear day and it's not socked in, you're like, oh. There's a wow that happens. One experience that I want to tell us about, and I hope it's going to help frame how we're able to pray here, is this. We've gone skiing to Manning Park a few times, and the kids and Sharon love it when I tell them a story about my bike trip that I did. Going from, in 1990, I think it was 96 in there, 96, 97, I'm turning 49 soon, so I forget some of these things. But I took a group of 8 students from Bethany College with a support vehicle, and we cycled from Vancouver to Saskatoon. It was fantastic. It was hard, amazing, but so good. And our second leg of our trip, the second day, was going to be the longest. We didn't know it was going to be the longest, but it was really long. We were going from Abbotsford. We ended up well past Manning Park. And as we were going through this, we realized that fairly quickly that we're in 80K and we're in the snow already because this is May and the campsites are closed, and so we can't. We just got to keep going. As we were going, the second leg, I ate the right stuff. I felt great. My body was feeling good. My tires were pumped up at the right pressure. I had the skinny tires, so that was good. I was able to get up these mountain passes. And we were coming up to the Allison Pass. It's right at the top of the number 3, just before you descend into Manning Park. And as we're coming up, I was just like, this is amazing. Life is going so well. Can you look at this? Like, the sun is out. We're flying. It's like, I'm doing it. This is amazing. And the other guys, some guys were ahead of me. And there was one guy in particular that was back behind me. And we just kept, we left him behind knowing that he can do this by himself. No big deal. And we kept pushing until the support vehicle that only took 5 minutes to catch us, but was, you know, several kilometers back, realized that our friend Paul was on the side of the road, not wanting to continue. He had a mountain bike. He had fat tires. There weren't even, he had knobbies on them. It wasn't even slicks. We had one guy that actually bought his bike at a Canadian Tire, at a garage sale for 10 bikes, $10. He didn't have any problems the whole trip. But Paul had a mountain bike, so he could get up the hill maybe a bit easier, but not faster. And he had thick tires. And he had shocks in front that he didn't make into rigid. So they were actually like doing this. So he was climbing this hill and putting all kinds of energy inside of this bike. And all his energy was going straight into the ground and hardly anything going up. Meanwhile, 7 of us were having the time of our lives and saying, this is the best thing ever. And flying up. We are orientated going, this is good. Then the person on the van came and said, hey, Paul needs some help. I was like, okay. So I turned around and I biked downhill, woohoo, to catch him. And I remember sitting on the side and he was defeated. He was, Paul, if you're listening to this, I'm telling the truth. Just like, I don't want to do this almost belligerent, saying, I'm done. Get me in the bus. This is it. No way. And I had to kind of go, Paul and I were on the same road, journeying the exact same path, but having two opposite experiences. He was bonking out. It's a term where he's just, all of his energy was gone. And he was just, I can't do this. And there's a point where I was trying to figure out what to do. I back in the day, I was like, you got this, no big deal. Come on, get on your bike, follow me, let's go. And he was like, no, I can't, forget it. And so I was trying to figure out, as I thought about that this week, I was like, oh, that's a good picture of these verses in verse 4. What is mankind that you're mindful of? Human beings that you care for them. During that time, God was caring for me. Absolutely. I was in the zone. Things are going great. And yet Paul had a different experience. And so during that time, I said, okay, Paul, let's just bike together. I was on a 12-speed. I had to go like super slow then. And he was going, and we just kept biking up until we passed Ellison's Pass and descended into Manning and then went to our campsite. And Paul, I will never forget when Paul just said, I think I just needed someone with me. And again, Paul and I were on the same road, journeying the same thing together. Basically, he had a bit of a different bike that was discouraging him. But somehow, my experience was different. I'm going to come back to that in a second. But during that time, when we're orientated in the right way, we cannot forget about those along the same journey that are having a different experience. And I wonder if in this psalm, Psalm 8, there's a hint and a clue for us. In that verse 4. And I wonder if the clue is, what is mankind that you're mindful of them? Human beings that you care for them. This is one thing that I did right. During that time of orientation for me, that when life was good, I was able to come alongside someone with my orientation of, it's there, I can go, life is good, I've been there, we can do this. And I was able to come alongside someone in the midst of disorientation in a way that wasn't belittling their experience, but was showing I'm with them. So when Paul said, I just needed someone with me, I wonder if in verse 4, somehow through my physical being with him, I was allowing him to be mindful that God was mindful of him. So during this time, I wonder, how do we pray when life is going well? I don't know, have you ever asked someone, over the years of my 25 years being pastoring, I've asked some people, like, you know, especially youth pastor, and you're going, okay, how can we pray for it? Everyone's like, I'm good, I'm good, I'm good, I'm good. Sometimes prayer, when life is good, almost seems like we have this thinking that we're not reliant on a God that actually sustains us. And so we need to be reminded of this. And I'm hoping that we can have these aha moments of, oh Lord, our God, how majestic are you in all the earth. You hold all things together. Would we have a wow experience in the experience that we're having? And those of us that are orientated in that way, would we also be mindful of those along the journey that we're able to direct that way and simply be with them? There's three things that I thought we could simply do when life is good. We can simply do these three things. Prayer, gratitude. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for this. Thank you, God, for this situation. Thank you, thank you, thank you. So we're recognizing that this is a gift that God has given us. The second time would be just a prayer of worship, like a wow. And I had this on before you mentioned it. Wow. Oh, God, you're so good. Would we have times that we could put our places in positions? Maybe some of us, maybe we need to get out to nature more this time at some point and just have a wow experience of who God is. And a prayer of declaration. You are good. Our prayer of declaration today is in your program twice. Oh Lord, Lord, how majestic you are in all the earth. That is our prayer of declaration. Could you think of others? Simple prayers that you could be praying while you're orientated, have this orientation to God in this positive way. Anyone want to add to those three? I want to end with this. I'm going to give you, here's some homework for us. Can I throw up the last slide there? So this is what you're supposed to put in between all the non-fill-in-the-blanks there, Stuart. So Monday, Psalm 19. Tuesday, Psalm 112. Wednesday, Psalm 87. Thursday, Psalm 8. That's this one. Friday, Psalm 133. Saturday, Psalm 65. We'll leave that up. These are ancient prayers of God's people that we can pray along with and help guide us in this and will help orientate us to this God that has created all. Now, Aaron told you that we're going to do something that we're going to practice prayer before we finish. How many people did that? How many people are you like, oh, I don't know about that? It seems a little scary sometimes, especially what is the person going to get me to do? So I thought long and hard about this, but I thought, let's try this. Most of us will know someone here right now. If you don't, be thinking about this. Who can sit beside me right now in a minute? Because I want to do this just a simple prayer today in this prayer of orientation. And I want us to hear words that would be this way. We're going to find someone, one or two people, and you can do it safe people that you know. And if you haven't, so you're going to get together one or two, maybe it's three or four, whatever, maybe it's a family, and you're simply going to pray and say, God, thank you for, I'm just like, God, thank you for Sharon. I might want to add to that, or I might just simply say, God, thank you for Sharon. I think we need to be orientated to know that God is with us and cares for us through the sound of another person saying, thank you for this person. That's simple. That's all we're going to ask you to do today. It may be a little scary for Silva, but it might be really easy for a lot of you as well. So we're going to take some time to do that. And then once we're done, then the band's going to come up and sing the last song. So find someone. You might be sitting by someone, you might be not, but I'll give you 15 seconds to do that. Look around. You could say, would you pray for me? Yes. If you don't know the person's name, ask their name. If the person's okay with it, well, we won't even do laying on of hands. We won't do that yet. But if you know the person, you can. But I just simply say, God, what do you thank you for? You don't even pray for a request of anyone right now. Okay? So do that right now. Okay, find someone. I'm going to turn my mic off for a second.